sunset lighted the village street and gilded the vanes on the chimneys. Matrons and maidens sat in snow-white caps and in kirtles, scarlet and blue and green, with distaffs spinning the golden flax for the gossiping looms, whose noisy shuttles within doors mingled their sound with the whir of the wheels and the songs of the maidens. Solemnly down the street came. The parish priest and the children paused in their play to kiss the hand he extended to bless them. Reverend walked he among them, and up rose matrons and maidens, hailing his slow approach with words of affectionate welcome. Then came the laborers home from the field, and serenely the sun sank down to his rest, and twilight prevailed. Anon from the belfry softly the Angelus sounded, and over the roofs of the village columns of pale blue smoke, like clouds of incense ascending, rose from 100 hearths, the homes of peace and contentment. Thus dwelt together in love the simple Acadian farmers, dwelt in the love of God and of man. Alike were they free from fear that reigns with the tyrant, and envy, the vice of republics. Neither locks had they to their doors, nor bars to their windows, but their dwellings were open as day in the hearts of the owners. There the richest was poor, and the poorest lived in abundance. Somewhat apart from the village, and nearer the basin of Minas, Benedict Bellefontaine, the wealthiest farmer of Grand Pré, dwelt on his goodly acres, and with him, directing his household, gentle Evangeline lived, his child, and the pride of the village. Stalwart and stately in form was the man of 70 winters. Hearty and hale was he, an oak that is covered with snowflakes. White as the snow were his locks, and his cheeks as brown as the oak leaves. Fair was she to behold, that maiden of 17 summers. Black were her eyes as the berry that grows on the thorn by the wayside. Black, yet how softly they gleamed beneath the brown shade of her tresses. Sweet was her breath as the breath of kine that feed in the meadows. When in the harvest heat she bore to the reapers at noontide flagons of home-brewed ale, ah, fair in sooth was the maiden. Fairer was she when on Sunday morn, while the bell from its turret sprinkled with holy sounds the air, as the priest with his hyssop sprinkles the congregation and scatters blessings upon them. Down the long street she passed, with her chaplet of beads and her missal, wearing her Norman cap and her kirtle of blue and the earrings brought in the olden time from France, and since as an heirloom handed down from mother to child through long generations. But a celestial brightness, a more ethereal beauty, shone on her face and encircled her form, when after confession, homeward serenely she walked with God's benediction upon her. When she had passed, it seemed like the ceasing of exquisite music. Firmly builded with rafters of oak, the house of the farmer stood on the side of a hill commanding the sea, and a shady sycamore grew by the door, with a woodbine wreathing around it. Rudely carved was the porch, with seats beneath, and a footpath led through an orchard wide, and disappeared in the meadow. Under the sycamore tree were hives overhung by a penthouse, such as the traveler sees in regions remote by the roadside, built o'er a box for the poor, or the blessed image of Mary. Farther down, on the slope of the hill, was the well with its moss-grown bucket, fastened with iron, and near it a trough for the horses. Shielding the house from storms on the north were the barns and the farmyard. There stood the broad-wheeled wains and the antique plows and the harrows. There were the folds for the sheep. And there, in his feathered seraglio, strutted the lordly turkey, and crowed the cock, with the selfsame voice that in ages